Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour here on the show. What's going on? Appreciate you hanging out with us here. If you drive at home, East Coast, starting to wrap up your day, middle of the country, out west, still in the midst of your day, either way, appreciate you. Teague and I coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. And by the way, we didn't have a chance to react. We're going to get to something that Gary Payton's, he weighed in, the glove. I got nothing but glove for you. He weighed in on the GOAT aspect, but at least it's a fresh angle. Otherwise, it would just be too much of a regurgitation of, well, who's the GOAT? Like, it's actually interesting, and it's a different layer, different depth, different perspective. But we ran out of time. We just basically had to abruptly say goodbye to Coach Mac Jones. That was a pretty interesting little nugget that Brian Billick dropped at the end. He put, for those who missed it, I asked Coach to put in order, if he were to put down the five names of the quarterbacks who were expected to go in the first round this year, write them down in order of those he believes, you know, from the most impressive career to the least impressive career, stick it in his desk drawer, go and revisit it in 10 years, see what's what. He said that Mac Jones would be fifth. Trey Lance, I believe, was third. It was Lawrence Wilson, and then it was Lance Fields and Mac Jones. So not a lot of love for Fields and really no love for Mac Jones. Interesting.
Yeah, to you.
What do you think?
To you. I have no idea. Honestly, I know who I liked in college. I know who I saw play in college. Trey Lance, who I didn't see at all. I think he's intriguing. So I think the 49ers will go after him and use Jimmy Garoppolo as a bridge in case he's not ready for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Mac Jones was great. He had one of the, statistically at least, greatest college seasons in the history of the sport, as well as winning a national championship. And yes, I know people say he doesn't have a big arm and he's not a great athlete, but he's a leader.
Those are two pretty important things, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, they
are both true.
They are, but does it? I mean, okay, it is what it is. I'm at a wait and see point at this juncture.
Well, no, so am I.
And I know a lot of teams, they have to weigh these things. You know, do I need an elite athlete at quarterback? Some people say yes, but it depends on what kind of offense you work. You're right. And, you know, what Brian Billick wouldn't say, and really he can't say, it's impossible to answer that question because circumstances matter. Like, where you get drafted matters. Derek Carr, or David Carr, I should say, Derek's brother, if he hadn't got drafted where he got drafted and sacked, I mean,
72 times.
72, which is insane.
72.
That. Russell Wilson has been sacked the most for the last, I think, 6 years, maybe 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
It's like 48.
Yeah.
It's
almost one year, I think he had 50, but it's always
30 more. Almost 30 more, which is crazy.
That's horrendous.
If he had gone somewhere else and they protected him and he was could have developed like a normal person and not been gun shy every time he took a snap.
I agree.
Maybe he could have turned into a player. So much depends on circumstance.
Well, I understand that, but that doesn't mean that we can't talk about this because think about all the time that it's speculation, clearly. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, all the time we devote to the draft, I think on some level it's a disservice for you and I and anybody that we interview that's connected to the game to not ask them what we think these guys will be in a couple of years. That's what we do.
Yeah, I know it is. I'm just saying, it's an impossible question to answer. Nobody would have thought Pat Mahomes was going to win an MVP and a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP after he was drafted in the first round 4 years ago. Nobody would have thought that.
But you know what, Teague? Logically, you're on point. There's no doubt. I mean, if you get drafted to a team with no O-line, your brain's going to get beat. You know, if you have no innovation schematic-wise, I get it. But we can still extrapolate arm strength, athleticism, build, IQ, all that stuff.
Here's why this is impossible.
People crave that stuff.
Here's why it's an impossible exercise.
Go ahead.
Lamar Jackson was probably the most maligned, like, elite quarterback coming out of college that we've ever seen. Now, he wasn't an elite thrower, but he was an elite quarterback, right, in college. But he was maligned. People said, oh, he can't play in the
NFL. It's a big statement. That's a big statement.
But think about it. He can't play in the NFL. He doesn't have the skill set. He's not smart enough. He can't read defenses. He can't do blah, 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 blah. 2 years later, he wins the MVP. The reason he won the MVP is because he went to a team in the Baltimore Ravens who ran an offense that did not fit his style at all. I mean, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl in this offense. You know what I mean? Like, this is not Lamar Jackson. But Greg Roman, who is our offensive coordinator, said, all right, I see this kid. I'm going to play to his strengths, and that's what we're going to do. And until someone stops us, that's what we're going to do. So they put him in a position to feel strong, like empowered and confident. And that's one of the biggest things you can have, regardless of your line of work, but particularly at a quarterback in the NFL. If you're confident and empowered in what you're doing each time you have to perform, you're going to go perform. So a lot of coaches or quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators, they get these kids and they don't care about what they're good at. They say, I'm going to make you into this person and this player, and you're going to learn to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And they go out there and they're lost. This is the exact issue with Sam Darnold, BT. He's lost because he wasn't doing anything that he felt comfortable doing for most of his tenure. That's why 3.1% interception percentage in his tenure with the Jets was just horrendous, as we were just alluding to.
Terrible.
But a lot of it, I don't put on him.
Yeah, no, I
put it on the circumstances. Yep. And so it's so much of it matters. If you would have asked me when Lamar Jackson got drafted number 32 by the Baltimore Ravens, if that was a good draft pick, I think we did talk about it.
Of course we did.
I was like, I don't know, man.
You know, hey, kind of a flyer. If it works out, you get the extra fifth year on the contract.
What are they going to do? Let him sit for 3 years and figure it out how to be a pocket passer, because that's the system they ran?
Yeah.
At the end of that year, he was playing because Joe Flacco was shot. They changed their offense. The next year, they rush for 300 yards a game, and he wins the MVP. And then he goes, I mean, I wouldn't have guessed it. So much depends on the circumstances.
But you know what, though? What's interesting, though, because they did cater to his system. So that was to his style.
Yes.
And to his strength. But ironically, at the end of the day, it could ultimately be to his detriment.
Because no doubt about it.
He won the MVP, which is great for the personal, trophy room, but they didn't win the championship.
And
he's young. I get it. But now here we are going into year four, and there's more questions going into year four than there were going into year three.
Yep.
Because they haven't really harnessed that.
It was like it was a dead year.
The passing.
It's just kind of like you stayed flat on a plateau.
I think he got a little worse.
He probably did. He probably dipped down a little bit. But that's the last thing you need from a third-year quarterback is to stay flat. You got to consistently be going, rising, and learning more. And if you don't, you start worrying about what's the ultimate ceiling as a team. Forget him individually, because we know he hit his ceiling. He won an MVP, for Christ's sakes. But what as a team can he ultimately do? If he's staying flat, what the heck is everybody else doing?
Well, and we're going to get to the Gary Payton, MJ, LeBron stuff in a moment. But you think about, when somebody's drafted, can they win an MVP? Can they you asked the question with Patrick Mahomes. Was anybody thinking, Kansas City probably wasn't even thinking that right away when they scooted up all those spots to draft them a couple years ago.
Actually, they probably were.
They were
enamored.
We can say that now.
But you've read the stories, BT.
I've read it.
They were enamored with him.
A little revisionist. It's a little bit easier to embellish after you see. I'm not saying that. Of course they liked him. They moved up 10 or 11 spots to get
BT,
him.
No, BT, they were saying, this is the best quarterback I've ever seen. Let me
ask you a question.
Yeah.
Anybody ever hear him say that? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Internally, I'm sure.
I'm not saying that they didn't say it, but it's easy to, we were in our war room. This guy's the best quarterback we've ever seen.
Well, if Andy Reid says it, then I'm going to believe.
I'm going to believe it more than I'm not, but I'm just saying.
I don't believe Andy Reid.
I like to hear things before I fully believe them. But listen, do I see Trevor Lawrence possibly winning an MVP? Could certainly see it. Can I see Mac Jones winning an MVP? Never. I mean, I can at least give you that. And then the other guys, quite frankly, everything else is very muddied. Zach Wilson makes MVP throws and he makes risky plays. Off-platform stuff, very good. The other stuff worries me a bit, though I like him. Fields, you know, incredibly interesting, great athlete.
Great talent.
Great talent. And Trey Lance, great athlete, great talent, yeah, great IQ. Know? But we got to see him play against guys that are actually good.
Yeah, I forget what the stat was, but North Dakota State like bludgeons people on the ground. So it's really easy not to throw interceptions when everybody's when everybody's geared up to stop the run.
And by the way, he did throw an interception, his first one this year when they played the one showcase game, even though their coach said it wasn't a showcase game.
Yeah.
He did throw the one pick. Now, I'm not trying to disparage Trey Lance. I think he could be good, but.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I just have no idea about Trey Lance.
I got it. Listen.
He's the one that's scares me. One season and one game. And I love him because he's big and he's like physically. I'm like, dude, he looks the part, man.
He does.
He's smart.
Yep. Chip on his shoulder.
Yep. Chip on his shoulder. He's got all of that.
He does.
But he played one season and one game.
The night that they drafted Darnold, I'm sitting there saying, this is going to be the guy who's going to bring me to a Super Bowl. The night that the and he's not even on the team.
Yep.
We thought Josh Allen might be out of the league in a couple of years his first. Who the heck knows? I get who knows. But it's still fun talking about. And when we're right, we'll circle back to it. When we're wrong, we'll ignore it. That's the motto of the show. If we miss something, we just pretend we never said it.
What? Who said that? That wasn't me.
Exactly. Gary Payton said a little something on a podcast, weighed in on the whole GOAT debate with Michael Jordan and LeBron. It's a different angle, and it's a smart angle. Let's play it, then let's see if we agree with Gary Payton. Go ahead, guys.
Two different basketball players. Jordan was a guy who... he's going to make big shots. He's going to take the ball every time and shoot it every time he has to. I think LeBron is an all-around basketball player. If you ask me who's a better all-around basketball player, LeBron James by far. He does everything. You know what I'm saying? He passes the ball better than Jordan. He can dribble it, I think, a little bit better than Jordan. Shooting-wise, I don't think so. Rebounding, I think he did, but Jordan did rebound. But they're two different basketball players. I think LeBron is more like Magic.
Okay, and that was on the Scoop B Radio Overtime Podcast.
My boy, Scoop B. Love
you know
him? Dude.
You know Scoop?
Yeah, he's great, man.
Scoop, there it is.
Scoop, there it is. Scoop's the man.
That's it. Sprinkles!
That's an awesome. That's
what my family loved. The kids loved
that
commercial.
That's one of the greatest commercials I've seen in a long time.
The best part about that commercial is the mom doing the right as the commercial ends, she's getting ready to rotate and do this crazy move. What a happy family that is. I love that commercial.
Gary Payton is not wrong here, BT.
But is he right?
Here's the thing. Like, he brings up things that I don't think I remember with Jordan enough to, comment on.
Your partner will, so go ahead.
So, dribbling. I don't remember
Gary Jordan. Payton's wrong. Michael Jordan had a better handle than LeBron.
I don't remember Jordan as a dribbler.
Sick handle. Better than LeBron. Better handle.
And I'm sure he's probably right because LeBron's, 2 inches tall?
No, LeBron's – no, Gary said that LeBron had a better handle.
That's what I mean.
I don't see that at
all. And so I don't remember Jordan dribbling. He's not Steph or Kyrie or any of these guys. But I don't remember him – being this master, this maestro with the ball and crossing guys up. And I remember
Byron Russell with Utah.
Russell, yeah, where he just, that was a crossover, but it was like, let me help you get crossed over. Right?
Push you out of the way.
Let me help you get crossed over and let me drill it in your mug, right? Type of thing. But I don't remember that part. The assists, again, I know he was great at finding the open player, but three guys collapsed on him whenever he got down in the lane.
Okay.
I would probably say LeBron is better at that.
A quick notation.
That's what LeBron is built to do. And we had conversations about this early in his career. Remember when he would not take the shot.
Yes.
As opposed to kicking it out to someone who had the right shot.
Yes.
Right?
And some would chastise him for that because they want to see you're the best player, take the shot. We actually took the approach, it's the right basketball play.
That's exactly
which is why you get Magic. I get you. And by the way, Bird would always try to make the right basketball play. As much as Bird was getting shots up and was one of the best shooters of all time, Bird always found the open man too. If he had to kick it to whether it was Ainge or Dennis Johnson or Jerry, even Schiesting, if he was open, he'd give him a look if he was open. I think that, forget the assist. All right, first of all, the amount of possessions per game. If LeBron was playing in the 80s and the 90s, I'm not saying that LeBron wouldn't be great, and I'm not saying that LeBron is not the second. Well, for me, he's the third best overall behind Michael and behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But the assist totals are inflated now because, you know, you've got multiple more possessions. Not only that, everybody can shoot on the court. Back in the day, when Michael Jordan took the court, and look at some of the players he played with to start his career. Dave Corzine. I know you don't, and I'm not calling you out. I know you don't even know who he is. Nobody knows who he is.
I've never heard that name.
Just imagine the goofiest, tallest, whitest, non-athletic guy with the 1980s porn stash that you can think of. That was Dave Corzine. No disrespect to Dave. No disrespect, Dave. Really, I mean, the guy made the NBA. But still, what I'm saying is, he's not getting assists by feeding Corzine hitting a 17-footer like everybody could hit nowadays, number one. Handle, to me, it's Jordan. You know, the rebounding, LeBron's a great rebounder. But, you know, back in the day, the big men rebounded.
That's right.
That was to get out of my, like, whether it was Cartwright with his elbows or even Corzine, I guess, for a minute. Bill Wennington was a big that he played with. Luke Longley. Like, their job was to set picks, get some loose change, and get rebounds.
Yeah, but isn't that what Gary's saying? Is that LeBron James, it doesn't matter the circumstances, him playing now versus when Jordan did, when, you know, nowadays big men clear out for guards to get rebounds. It's game plan so that they can start the fast break or start transition, right? It's just different. They didn't do that back in the day. But what I think what Gary is saying is that if you ask LeBron to do any of those things, he can do them and he'll do them really well. Rebound, dribble, assist, shoot the three-pointer now, which clearly he's better than Jordan was. You know, be a playmaker. Like, he can do everything. Anything you need him to do, he can do. Now, he's not quite like Magic playing center, like jumping center and stuff.
As a rookie,
right? But he still has the ability. And I don't know if Jordan, I mean, I don't know if LeBron at this stage would ever guard a five, but right.
I think if he had to, he probably would. Well, with Davis there, he's not going to have to.
But yeah, you're right.
If he had to, yeah.
I mean, but but that's my point. I think he could probably do it. And I think he could too, but yeah. I don't think Jordan could.
Jordan couldn't guard Ewing.
That's what I mean.
Or David Robb.
That's what I mean.
But that's three inches in height, too.
Agreed. So what Gary's saying has nothing to do with actually comparing them, which is why it's interesting.
Yep.
It's just saying, if you want to put them individually in vacuums and say who has the more complete skill set, it's LeBron James versus Michael Jordan.
But
that doesn't make him a greater player.
Yep.
It just makes him has more skills available than Jordan.
So what, more things in the toolbox than Jordan?
Yes.
Because I still disagree with framing it that way. Because you talk about shooting the basketball. I mean, Michael Jordan was an 80th, I want to say, I don't know, 82-83% free throws for his career.
Wow.
And absolutely above 80, no question. And his three-point efficiency wasn't as bad as you. I think it was like 31 or 30, low 30s. Right?
Yeah.
But the thing about Jordan, and that's not to say that LeBron does not have this, but Michael Jordan to me, so forget about the explosive move. That speaks for itself. Everybody knows that. Michael Jordan to me was maybe outside of Bird. And I'm trying to think if there's even, I don't even know if Magic was this fundamentally sound. Coming from Dean Smith, the fundamentally sound aspect of every part of his game, the handle, the free throws, hitting the open man, getting to the rim. I had a defense, 9-10 time defensive all team. And by the way, he didn't play his age 30 season. He was playing baseball. He skipped out. LeBron's 35 now. Michael Jordan was retired. Jordan was retired the next year. And he sat out 3 years, 35, 36, 37. And while they came back, a little diminished with the Wizards, even though he played pretty much every game and still averaged over 20 points a game. Those 3 years before the Wizards, Michael Jordan would have still been about, I believe about 91 or 92% Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I really do.
Look, this is an interesting debate in that Michael probably has less of those complete skills than LeBron, but there's no way you take away the GOAT status from MJ. I mean, he's a 10-time scoring champ, BD. 10.
Yep. And it was interrupted when he went to play for the Birmingham Barons.
That's right.
That was the interruption. Otherwise, it would have been more.
And you were right about the all-defense. 9-time all-defense.
Oh, so you have – what was he from the line? 83%?
83.5% from the line. 32.7 career.
33% rounded up.
From three-point range.
Okay, what's LeBron for his career? I mean, it's gotten better. What is he from downtown? 36%?
Career 35. 34.5. Okay. So 37 this season, though.
Okay, but to career, it's the basically last negligible.
Yeah, you're right. Free throw percentage, 70.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge difference.
Yeah. So, career PERs, interestingly.
Yeah, what do we have?
They're exactly the same.
What, 31? That's a little bit high.
27-9
yep.
for Jordan. Uh-huh. 27-4 for
boy. My boy LeBron. MJ's got him by 0.5 of a point. Listen, what I love about the perspective from Gary is that it's come from somebody who's undeniably one of the greatest defensive guards in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not just a great defensive player because you can move your feet and move your hands. Your IQ for the game is off the charts because that encompasses anticipation.
Yep.
And it's not just the God-given physical traits. So when Gary Payton says something like that, I put a ton of weight behind it. I would respectfully disagree, not on everything, on some of the points. Good stuff. That was worth playing. That
six,
was good.
6'6", 200 versus 6'9", 250.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a difference. It's a different species.
That's a difference.
I got you.
Different animal.
All right. Let's get the we're going to get the update in a little bit. We'll have Dottie Pepper will join us coming up. We love her on the course and kind of get a sense of what some of these guys. I've always wondered what it's like when you walk across. I've been to a lot of golf events, but when you walk inside the ropes with a microphone and have the access that Dottie has, you know, what does she hear and see that we don't see and hear on TV? We'll talk about that and more coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Good stuff today. And anytime we can squeeze in a lot of golf, we did that last hour, by the way, the incentive, that $40 million package that the NBA is, that the PGA is going to unleash for those who are moving the needle in terms of popularity in the sport, which I think is a great thing. Teak is not loving it. I think it's great. I don't think it could hurt you. It can only help you. But Teak, one of our favorites. I don't think we've ever had her on the show. I asked you this before. If we did, it was a long time ago, which is criminal. This should never have happened, should never have taken this long. We hear her every weekend when CBS has the events. She's on the course. Incredible, vivid description. She is great. She's part of the crew here at CBS. She's got a new book out. Dottie Pepper with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Dottie, how are you today?
Gentlemen, thank you. I'm sitting in my office, and it's snowing.
Where are you? Where?
Saratoga Where? Springs. I mean, it is the real deal right now.
Are you serious?
Wow. That's crazy.
Goodness gracious. My God, though.
There's no grass left.
Yikes. No wedge work for you today, I assume, Dottie, right?
Negative.
Well, you don't need it anymore because you, I don't know if you ever really needed it because you did win a couple of the majors, 17 LPGA Tour events. So for those who only know Dottie as an on-course correspondent, as a broadcaster, distinguished career before that, we'll get to the book as well for sure. Dottie, what I want to know, Tiki knows, I am so drawn into this game. It has given me so little pleasure for the amount of time that I'm not kidding, that I devote to this game. I deserve better, quite frankly. I watch all the events. I know the game.
Pleasure's
the wrong
love
word.
It's giving you pleasure, BT, just not fulfillment.
Well, there you go. All right, semantics, sure.
Yeah.
But I love, Dottie, I love when we can get behind the curtain, hear stuff, whether it's caddy, player interaction. You might have the coolest job in the game, despite, you know, I know Nance and everybody else is sitting up at the towers, but you're walking the course. What do you hear and see that we don't necessarily see and hear on a regular basis? And we get to see and hear a lot with CBS's cameras, but you see it all. What are we missing?
Well, first of all, I'm an outdoor dog, so this is the perfect place for me. sitting in a tower is not my forte. I like to be out there and kind of feel it, smell it. That was where I played, and now I get to talk about it. So I do have a pretty cool gig. What do I hear and see? If we're doing our jobs, we don't really need to say much because the caddies and players, as you know, when we are not talking, tell you just about everything you do need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan and Stuart Sink this weekend was a perfect example. I mean, CBS should have sent him a paycheck. I mean, he talked us through every shot the whole way through. Both afternoons, and it was fantastic. I mean, we can add the things that happened during commercial, for example, or finding out in this situation last Sunday what the AP was that they were talking about when we had our mics wide open. well, the AP is an aggressive punch. It wasn't Arnold Palmer, as we speculated. So those are the things that I can have the conversations with the guys in commercial break or when we're on another shot and add more to what the folks at home are really looking to find out.
Gotcha. Yeah, and you know, Dottie, when you talk about this new book that you are putting out here, "Letters to a Future Champion: My Time with Mr. Pulver," some of the articles that we're reading is talking about how you would advise how your mentor mm-hmm. would advise some of these young golfers on tour. Now, Will Zalatoris, who came out of nowhere, nobody was like, "Who is this kid? he might win this thing. Who is this kid?" Right. What advice are you trying to impart, at least through the written word?
Well, I mean, some of the things that Mr. Pulver talked about were the fact that success in golf is so fleeting, and that your career, you need to have a plan B. I mean, it was harped on me that I had to have a college education. He saw his three kids benefit from it, and I had to have a backup. My dad played Major League Baseball, but signed on the day he graduated from high school and didn't have a college backup. Hmm. So that was kind of the harsh reality of it. But the stuff like Will Zalatoris is it's just to enjoy it for as long as you possibly can, because it's not all the time that you get everything firing all in the same direction like he did. And when you start to feel a little run down, a little burned out, it's okay to just pull the plug and have a real life, have some balance. He thought balance was really important. And I would say it would be really easy to get caught up in all that's been going on with Will, and he's an awesome kid. Oh my God. But by the way, they knew exactly who he was at Wake Forest. He broke every record there was. But this kid's the real deal. But I think it takes balance. And sometimes it takes, whether it's your manager, whether it's your caddy, whether it's your bestie that has nothing to do with golf, saying, "Hey man, you're not yourself right now. Mm-hmm. You're getting a little fried. Let's head to the lake. Let's head to the mountains. Let's do something and get out of the fishbowl for a week."
Dottie, we're talking to Dottie Pepper, CBS, great broadcaster, 2-time majors champion, 17 wins of the bag on the LPGA tour. Is it almost easy? Is a relative word. Trust me, I know nothing's easy about grinding on tour. I get it, but with so much money out there, you know, you get a couple of once you make it, you get a couple of endorsements. Everybody's living a pretty good lifestyle. There's different layers to that lifestyle. I get that, but you know, I look back and I love the game to the point where I've read a lot of things, whether it's the 40s or the 50s, and where money, you might win an event, you might win $2,000. There's so much money out there that I don't know if it decreases the pressure. But I feel like just in general, guys would be able to exhale a little bit more because every shot isn't necessarily financial life and death. Does that make sense?
But for many, it's not. But I would also say that winning definitely has its benefits. And for a guy like Will, he's still not a full-time member of the PGA Tour because he hasn't won a golf tournament yet. I mean, he's got conditional status. He can accept as many sponsor exemptions as he wants, but he still has to get in that pool. Now, nobody's going to not give him that sponsor exemption, but it's not a guarantee. You know, look at it like a guy like Stuart Sink, for example. Go back to last fall. He didn't have a guaranteed card. He was in there waiting to see if he had a spot fill up, and then he wins at Safeway, which essentially, because of where it was in the schedule, got him a 3-year exemption. And then he puts the pedal down again and hammers it out at Hilton Head again. So I think it can be easy to get a little comfortable, mm-hmm. but success is pretty fleeting. And for those guys who haven't won golf tournaments, that's a year-to-year deal. And if you got a big mortgage and you got a lot of debt, that's hard to play golf, man. It's really hard to play golf.
That's true.
When you put it that way.
That's true.
You know, Dottie, we were talking a little bit earlier in the show about this new bonus pool that will incentivize the most popular golfers and those who are drawing eyes to the sports. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, I tend to see it as a little bit exclusive instead of inclusive to everyone. Some just will never have the opportunity because they don't move that needle. Doesn't mean they're not great golfers, but they're not moving the needle. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm right there with you. And by the way, that's not them moving the needle. It's somebody in doing their social media moving their needle somewhat for them.
Yeah.
Because this is part of the entertainment part. So I think there's a balance between the entertainment and the competition. This is a reality thing about what I think there was competition to go overseas with another tour that may have been competition for the PGA Tour. So they addressed it to try to keep their stars at home. But my personal situation, I feel we're dancing on a very razor thin edge about where's competition and where's entertainment. And we need to have a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. But I'm not, and when somebody else is doing your social media, instead of you hammering it out and you making the mistakes and you making the great posts and making some really crappy ones, how can that's a lot of money to have that flown around. I think it's a little, I want to see how it plays out. Let's put it that way.
See, I like it more than you guys, but I hear the concerns. We're talking to Dottie Pepper. New book is entitled Letters to a Future Champion, My Time with Mr. Pulver. CBS star, walking the course all the time with the microphone, the headset. So before we let you go, Dottie, not a lot of time, but, you know, we hear the whoosh, we hear the smash, but you're right next to Bryson DeChambeau when he actually connects with a golf ball off the tee. Can you vividly describe for us what it is like in person?
He's the first guy I really heard exhale over a shot before he takes a club back, for starters.
Uh-huh.
But if you can imagine taking off out of an airport, jet ahead of you, and your pilot captain take off just a little too close, it's called jet wash. You get caught up in it, and it's pretty bumpy. And that's, man, it is wicked. It sounds like it. It feels like it. This guy is anchored into the ground. Every part is moving toward the target. There's a reason for everything he's done, and he just kind of get caught up in all of it.
Can he do that for 10 years without destroying his body?
Look, Tiki, you know this.
Yep.
When you hit things hard enough and often enough, they're going to hit back. the ground hits back too.
Yes, it does.
It does.
It's subtle, but it does hit back.
it's repetitive.
Yes,
it's over and over and over again.
Gotcha.
And I think you've got to be really careful.
Good stuff, Dottie.
Really careful.
Good. Really good to have you on the show. I've been a fan for a long time. I love the banter. I love the freedom that you have to do your thing, not just telling us what's up, but also injecting personality into the broadcast, which you guys do a great job of weekly. Letters to a Future Champion. You. You're welcome. My Time with Mr. Pulver, the great Dottie. Dottie Pepper's two-time major champion, 17 wins on the resume, and we'll see you this weekend coming up. We have more CBS Golf. Looking forward.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Dottie.
There you go. Dottie Pepper. Awesome. Little late. Axe update. We'll come back and we'll blast away. Here's Rich. All right. Tiki and Tierney, get ready for the blast. First up, though, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from, got a couple of good ones here. This is a little pre-draft synopsis. Raymond Newsnoff, I believe, at RayRay1222. And Raven wants to know, which team had the best offseason pre-draft so far? I gotta say the Pats, right?
Yeah, Pats. But there's a couple you can throw in here. I'm going to say the Cardinals, who got J.J. Watt,
good
A.J.
call.
Green.
Good call.
Right? James Conner's there. Maybe he can get himself back on track. Malcolm Butler. But the Raiders also had a good offseason. Unique Ngakoue is there. Kenyon Drake. John Brown. Remember him from
receiver,
from Buffalo. Solomon Thomas comes over from free agency.
49ers.
The Rams, simply because they got a straight up quarterback now. With that trade, they're always built. The Patriots, who we've talked about ad nauseum. But I also got to go, BT, with my team, with the Giants.
G-Man.
Kenny Galladay, they're able to re-sign Leonard Williams. Yeah. Adoree Jackson comes over. Kyle Rudolph is there. They stacked up on some running backs with Devontae Booker. I like what the Giants did. Those are five that you can consider.
Good ones. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Good stuff. We're a little late, so we head right to the blast. Go ahead, D-Cell, what you got?
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki. Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean met the media yesterday, shed a little light on how the Bills will approach their first-round draft pick.
At the end of the day, at 30, we're going to try to take the best football player we can take. We really are. You know, you'd love to say, hey, this guy's going to come in and start right away day one. I think there's some other guys that we have on the board. We're going, this guy's one heck of a player, but he's not going to start. day one, but we will count on him. We'll think long-term more than short-term, but we'll see how it goes. It'll be a good player.
Well, here's the question, T. When should a team draft for the short term?
If you are a player away, even though we know that that's a fallacy.
You always tell me you're not a player away.
Save for the Buccaneers with Tom Brady. Actually, it's really like four players away because Leonard Fournette comes, and as does Antonio Brown and Gronk. So when should you draft? I think if you're in the late, if you're already set up and you have the luxury of having depth already, then you just draft the best player.
I hear you on that, but I would say I'm drafting the for the short term if I have an urgency based on an aging roster specific to my absolute best players, really the quarterback. Like, if I've got a quarterback who's just about shot, like, to me, not that Rodgers is even close to being shot, but given his age, I mean, it is what it is, 37. Like, to me, the Packers in certain spots should be drafting a little more short-term to try to get that second championship. I think the Bucs could do that. I think the Pats could have done that a couple of years in a row with Brady when he was still there. So, short-term, probably not the best way to go, but there are times when it's understandable. Those are a few. Barrett Salee compiled the list of CBSSports.com for CBSSports.com. Seven college football coaches under the most pressure next season. No order. Kirby Smart from Georgia. Clay Helton, USC. We got Lincoln Riley. What? Lincoln Riley? Stop.
I'm
Stop.
Not sure I'm buying that.
That almost invalidates the entire list. Yeah. I mean, Lincoln Riley. Come on. Michigan. Jim Harbaugh. That makes sense.
Yeah, Justin Fuente. A little bit, but not really.
Justin Fuente. Justin Fuente from Virginia Tech. And Jeff Brom from Purdue. It's an interesting one.
Scott Frost. Yeah.
And Scott Frost from Nebraska. So other than Harbaugh, who on this list is facing the most pressure and why? I don't know if there's...
It's got to be Frost, BC.
Well, here's the thing. I've got to look at the most rabid like fan base, where that's where pressure comes, right?
Yeah.
This is not a shot of Purdue's fan base at all. They've had great coaches and great players. I don't know that that fever pitch reaches a point where it's where you can ignore it in over at Purdue yet. I would say on this list, it's probably got to be Clay Helton. If they can't get back to the top soon, then he just got to make a move. I mean, USC should never be down this long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the thinking is out in Nebraska, you know, but Scott Frost was brought in to change really the culture, this malaise that they've been stuck in. Maybe it's a quarterback, maybe he gets one of those guys, but that's a hard proposition when you're out there in the Midwest and these top-end quarterbacks have Ohio State and some of these other schools that they can go to, even if you go south down to the Texases or Texas Tech, TCU, etc. So I think Scott Frost has a lot of pressure, even though I don't think he's in danger of being fired.
All right, well, the Timberwolves have struggled this year. This season, Anthony Edwards, at least recently, started to hit a stride. The number one pick led the T-Wolves with 28 in last night's win over Sacramento. And in the month of April, he's shooting 38% from downtown. He's showing some range. So what are our thoughts on Edwards' first year in the NBA?
Yeah, I don't watch him much, so I don't really know, other than the fact that this team is struggling. And they've had tons of issues. We all know about Cat and, you know, some of the COVID stuff that he's been dealing with and how he's actually on the court. It's miraculous in and of itself, and our thoughts and prayers go to him and his family. But Anthony Edwards has kind of been he's lost. Like, you kind of forget that he was – the number one overall pick, and we know he's a good player, and he's young, and he still has to evolve a lot. I will save my evaluation of him for 2 years from now. I can't do it right now on a team that's had a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah, they're a strange franchise. They really are. You know, I don't know. Maybe A-Rod changes it. Who knows? I think that he's better than I thought. He's a little more polished than I thought. I knew he was explosive and strong. Like, that didn't surprise me. You shoot 38% from downtown for basically an entire month as a rookie at the end of your rookie year when you should be hitting a wall. That shows some aptitude, some growth, some progress there. I don't know that I need 2 years to say that he's going to be – he'll be an all-star a few times. I don't view him as a franchise alterer. I don't think that I ever will. Maybe he surprises me. I don't view him as somebody who's going to win an MVP. I could see a couple of all-star spots, a lot of jerseys sold, popular player, no doubt, good style, appealing style. Impressed with his first year. Better than I thought he would be, to be honest with you. Now, we discussed yesterday, T, the controversial ending to the Bucks and the Suns on Monday, the foul with Tucker on Devin Booker barely grazed his elbow. We talked about that. Also, last night, Chris Paul passed Magic, number 5 all-time on the assist list. So how will CP3's career be remembered? Well, you know, if he ever finds a championship, rightly or wrongly, it elevates him to a level, there's no doubt. I think that anybody who knows the game of basketball, has watched basketball for a long time, you have to talk about the injuries. That's unfortunately part of the resume. But his ability to elevate, you know, teams that were downtrodden before his arrival, that's become the latter stage of his overall legacy. But honestly, Chris Paul just goes down as a great point guard, a truly great player.
Yeah, I think that's right. He'd be in maybe one of the in that list of greatest players never to win a championship. Unfortunately, BT, with Charles Barkley, yeah, some of those other guys,
Ewing,
etc., Malone and Stockton,
yeah,
those guys. But I mean, CP3, he's 5th all time in assists, and now he's going to have 400 and something assists this year. But there was a season 10 years ago, BT, he had 800 plus assists. It's just baffling that remember how good he was.
Yeah,
he's a great. You're right, great point guard,
great player,
and you'll never be able to take that away from him.
Yeah, I don't know that you need to add any context. Chris Paul's an all time great point guard. Period.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Take. Coach BT's got to work the T-ball squad tonight. Right out the door, baby. Let's go. Pick it up. Hit those bases.
How was the game this weekend? I saw it. You sent me pictures, so I know it. But bring it to air because Colton was the dirtiest kid ever.
He had a pretty good weekend. So he's playing on the T-ball team. And that went well. He played well. I don't want to give you stats. I don't want to be that guy. He did really well in T-ball, and he's playing on a travel team where he's the youngest kid on the field, him and one other kid. And it the first two innings are coach pitching, I pitch, and then it's kid pitching. And I was like, man, I was worried for him. Not that he would be scared, but just I don't want him to feel overwhelmed. He got the first hit off kid pitching.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he played shortstop, batted second, got the game ball, acquitted himself well, played hard. He dived on the on the field 3 or 4 different times. He just loves it. He's a gamer. He loves ball, and he's pretty decent at it.
Yeah,
so
get him on.
We
the
got
mound.
A lot of work to do though, Teague. Don't let him hear this.
Get him on.
Don't gas him up.
Get him on the mound and just tell him to hit the first batter.
Let's go. Pick it up. Hit that base. Let's go. How old are you? 5'6". Keep it going. Let's go. Pick it up. Get the fungo bat out pretty soon. Everybody have a great Wednesday night. Teague, I'll catch you tomorrow, brother.
Yep, be good, brother.
No doubt. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday. Peace. Gotta go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.